Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we're going to discuss a handful of issues. We're going to follow up with a couple things we've been talking about. One is this issue that pain is not physical. If you burn your hand, many Christians have been, well, they just haven't thought about it. They assume that that's physical. And pain is not physical. Pain is not physical. Pain is awareness. It's knowledge. And awareness, knowledge, is not physical. So we'll talk through that. And then also, atheists have claims they make that typically their fundamental claims, many of them you could refute in less than 8 seconds. So we'll go through some of those so you can be prepared when you talk to someone who doesn't believe in God, like you might hear them say there is no truth or there are no absolutes or you can only know that which your five senses tell you or suffering proves that a loving God does not exist. The problem of pain. Pain proves there is no loving God. And so on. So we'll present those and how to refute them in 8 seconds or less. And then also Amendment 43 coming up in Colorado, the marriage amendment. Please vote yes on Amendment 43 and vote no on Referendum I. Referendum I is the gay marriage amendment, but they don't call it marriage. But other than that, that's the homosexual marriage amendment. And we'll run some ads for Amendment 3 and against Referendum I, and then we'll talk through the reasons why, of course, we should support the protection of marriage between one man and one woman, and we should oppose homosexual marriage or civil unions because homosexuality is destructive. It hurts people, and if you love your neighbor, you will warn them. Don't do hallucinatory drugs. Don't do cocaine. Don't do heroin. And don't be a homosexual. Don't be an alcoholic. So if you love someone, you'll warn them against destructive and immoral behavior. And so whatever we can do to slow the homosexual agenda, whatever we can do that is right and just, we should do it. And voting against Referendum I in Colorado and for Amendment 43 are things we can do to attempt to slow the homosexual agenda. Okay, what else? A program note, here at Bob Benyart Live, something that's helped us stay on the air for 10 years has been my manuscript, The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. We've been selling that. We've sold thousands of copies of it. And there is a possibility. Now, there have been publishers that have showed interest in the past, and once again now, we have a publisher that their acquisition board has read through the manuscript, and they're interested. They're a Bible publisher, and so we'll let you know how that proceeds. All right? I'm an extrovert. I tend to talk. Whatever's on the tip of my tongue, I say it. So maybe an introverted talk show host wouldn't say anything unless it's a yay or a nay. But here it is in front of me, a letter. So I just let you know there's a possibility here that The Plot may be published. We've had a signed contract with a major publisher in the past, and that fell through, interestingly, for publishing The Plot. And we had the president of Nelson, Thomas Nelson, publishing, contact us and ask for a copy of the manuscript. The president of the largest, what are they, the largest Christian publisher in the world? And that fell through when someone reading the manuscript, the reviewer, he gave the manuscript to a reviewer and they rejected it because we point out through the whole plot the difference between the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. And that God had instructed Israel to circumcise their male children on the eighth day. And God commanded us in the body of Christ to not circumcise. And believe it or not, That was the reason, the primary reason given why they decided, this one reviewer recommended against publishing the plot. That's pretty wild, since there are, what, millions of Christians who believe that, basically, including the Baptist and Charismatics and so many others. But anyway, okay. Now, and also one follow-up piece of information regarding the issue of abortion being a risk factor for breast cancer. I have here from the Komen.org website. This is the Race for the Cure organization, and they give money to Planned Parenthood, a lot of money year after year. And on their website, they talk about the lesbian risk factor for lesbians getting breast cancer. And they say women who partner with women are believed to have a higher risk of breast cancer than other women. Now, isn't that interesting? And they say the reason, well, why would it be? Women who partner with women tend to have more risk factors for breast cancer, for as a group, they are less likely to bear children. Well, that's a good point. And so abortion obviously takes away the benefit of reduced risk of getting breast cancer by having a child and taking a pregnancy full term. Abortion takes away that admitted benefit, even by the Komen Foundation, but it also adds a significant risk factor because the termination of the pregnancy before 32 weeks leaves the tissues, leaves the cells in the breast undifferentiated, many undifferentiated cells, and they are vulnerable to carcinogens, and that's where breast cancer will begin in those cells. Okay, so now on to the topic. I had just brought this up this week, and it struck interest with some listeners I talked to, and they asked, could we talk it through a little bit more? The idea that pain is not physical. Pain is not physical. Now, things that are not physical, we could call them, you know, by different terms, but one term is spiritual. They're non-material. I remember a popular debate between a theist, a Christian, and an atheist, very well-known atheist, and the Christian asked the atheist, are the laws of logic physical? Are the laws of logic physical? And the atheist said no. Then about 10 minutes later in the debate, the Christian is talking about things that are not physical, the spiritual realm, the non-physical realm, and the atheist must have forgotten his answer, and he said to the Christian, give me one example of something that's not physical. And the Christian said, the laws of logic. And the audience cracked up laughing because the atheist forgot. He's trying to use logic and reason to prove that there is only the material realm. The problem with that is the laws of logic are not material. They're not made up of electrons and protons and neutrons. They're not made up of that stuff. They don't operate at a certain temperature. They don't have a certain mass. So the laws of logic are not physical. Pain is something that is not physical. Now, we can experience pain because we are aware. We are aware. Awareness, you know, you have knowledge, data, like a computer might have a bunch of data in it, but the computer is not aware of the data. It's not aware. The difference between a computer that might have an entire set of encyclopedias on its hard disk and us is that the computer can contain data and we can have data, be looking at it, but we could be aware of the data. Now, what makes us aware is not the atoms and molecules in our bodies, because atoms and molecules, they're not aware. They're not sentient. We have a soul. In fact, the Bible says that animals and people have souls. One thing that distinguishes us from animals is that we also have a spirit. Animals do not have a spirit. We are made in God's image and likeness. So plants have a physical body. They have a corporal body. It's the tree or the shrub or the flower. It has a physical body, but plants do not have souls. Animals have souls. So to some extent, you can have a relationship with a dog or a cat or a horse or an octopus. I don't think a worm. Animals have different degrees, different depths of souls. God gave a different quality of soul to different kinds of animals. So plants have only a body. Animals have body and soul. And people, human beings, have body, soul, and spirit. Now, because plants do not have a soul, they're not aware. And they are not aware. So when you chop down a tree, it does not feel pain. Doesn't feel pain. Now, I think there was a 1960s sci-fi episode of a guy who made a machine. He put a microphone on a tree, and then he took an axe, and he chopped the tree, and the tree just started screaming and wailing. That's just science fiction. That's make-believe. A tree does not experience pain. When you pull an apple off of an apple tree, it doesn't cry. It doesn't suffer. It's okay. Okay, so pain is comprehension. It is knowledge. And knowledge is not physical, right? It's an awareness of knowledge. Now, some people, like Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton's pastor from the Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., Philip Wagaman, he's now the acting president of ILF, School of Theology, and he argued that abortion is okay early in pregnancy because the child does not have awareness. And I asked him two questions. I asked him, one, how certain are you the child doesn't have awareness? Because I could show you that you're wrong. And two, what if you are wrong? So he said, well, if I'm wrong and that fertilized egg, that little zygote and the young fetus, he said, if I'm wrong and it does have awareness, then the pro-lifers are right. That was pretty good. That was pretty good that we got that kind of an admission, that he admitted that. And then regarding that it doesn't feel pain and it doesn't have awareness, he argued that it doesn't have a brain. Its brain has not been formed, and so therefore it can't feel pain. And so I pointed out that awareness is not physical. Awareness is not physical, and pain is not physical. Pain is awareness of something that is wrong and hurtful to us, whether emotional or something wrong with our body. So we argued about that for a bit, and I pointed out that matter, atoms and molecules, don't have awareness. And he agreed. He was the pastor of Foundry United Methodist Church. He believes in God, although he's like a Sadducee. He believes in God, but he supports the killing of unborn children, but he says they have no awareness. They're not self-aware. I said, how certain are you of that? And I pointed to a grand piano. And I said, is that grand piano? Or he actually pointed to it. And he said, I'm not certain that this piano is not self-aware. And I said, well, then, sir, you've just disqualified yourself from even offering an opinion publicly on whether or not it's okay to kill unborn children. Because if you don't know that the piano is not self-aware, then you are clearly not qualified to speak about whether or not you could kill a living human. Okay. So awareness is not physical. Our awareness comes from our soul spirit. And animals, to some degree, are aware. And you can have a degree of a relationship with some animals. And that's because God gave them a soul. But we also have a spirit. And so the little tiny baby coming down the fallopian tube, that zygote, that fertilized egg, when that baby comes into existence, it is immediately alive to God. It is self-aware. It's young, it needs to grow, but it is self-aware, it knows it exists, it is alive. And the baby in the womb, of course, as the baby grows in the womb, we know from experience, that eventually the baby gets to learn who mom is. The baby could learn songs in the womb before it's born. Okay, so at any rate, somebody says you can kill that little baby in the womb because it's not aware. It doesn't feel pain. Well, they're wrong about that. They're wrong. And emotional pain is worse than physical pain. Now, why would that be? Well, because emotions like, let's say, love and hate, or let's say envy or bitterness or pride, right, or acceptance. These things are not physical. These are emotional. They're spiritual. So when a child is accepted, he feels love. When a child is rejected, he feels hurt and pain. And that is emotional, and that's way worse than the physical pain that we could experience. And so if a woman is giving birth and she's experiencing that pain of labor and child delivery, boy, that's a lot of pain. But that pain seems to recede in memory so quickly with the joy of that newborn baby. So that physical pain is intense, but we can recover from physical pain pretty quickly. Sometimes within minutes, hours, or days, and the physical pain, it's over. But emotional pain? So the physical pain when a baby's coming into a family, well, that's intense, but then it's over, and the woman holds the baby, and she'll cry for joy. So the woman is suffering from the pain of delivery. That's a pain from her body, physical pain, that her brain is telling her, wow, this really hurts. So she's aware of that physical pain, but then it goes away with the joy of the baby. On the other hand, take a mother who just lost her child, and there's no physical pain to her. Nothing was done to her body, but the pain is emotional. And emotional pain is so much more devastating, and it's so much more enduring. And in fact, it could break through and give us physical pain even. Because our bodies, we are body, soul, and spirit, and our soul, spirit is interfaced to our body. And the way we, our attitude, and the way we think could, to some degree, affect our physical bodies. That's why stress could be such a killer. All right, so emotional pain could be devastating far beyond what physical pain is, because it connects better. Pain is not physical. Pain is spiritual. And so emotional pain connects directly to our soul spirit. And so it really, really hurts. Physical pain has to be interfaced to our soul spirit. Our body's connected to our soul spirit. So there's a problem with our body, and our brain gets the information, and it passes the information through to our soul spirit, and we say, oh, I don't like that. But if you take, people think pain is physical. If a nerve is cut in a leg, a nerve is cut from an accident, and so somebody can't, they have no feeling in their leg. So the doctors, they're trying to figure out, wow, what's with this guy's leg? He says he can't feel anything. So the nurse says, well, let's find out if he's kidding. I have to give him a shot anyway. I'll give him the shot in his leg. And she goes, whack. Puts the needle in his leg. When he's not looking, he doesn't even flinch. He didn't feel it. So some people who have a disease where they can't feel pain, and they'll be sitting near a campfire, and their hand will be in the fire, and their fingers will start burning, and they don't know it. They smell it before they don't ever feel it. That's, of course, a horrendous situation. So the pain is not in your foot. And people say, well, no, it's in your brain. Your brain is what processes the pain. Okay, well, let's follow that argument. Your brain is one organ that has no pain sensation whatsoever. When doctors operate on your brain, They cut it open. You have no sense of pain whatsoever. They don't put painkiller in your brain. If, let's say, they're going to take out a tumor and they got a cut and you lose some of your brain matter and they're cutting your brain, you don't feel it. It doesn't hurt. So the one organ in your body that has absolutely no pain sensation, and we're told by atheists, materialists, naturalists, we're told that that is where you sense pain. How could it be? Your brain doesn't even feel pain. So pain is not physical. Pain is spiritual. It's emotional. It's non-material. Pain is awareness that something is wrong. So, yeah, it's interesting. The doctor cuts into our brain matter, and we don't feel it. Now, you'll feel it when they go through your skin on your skull. You'll feel that. Right? You'll feel that, but in your brain itself, no sensation of pain. Okay. All right. So what we need to do as Christians, we need to beware when someone says, well, that unborn child or that fertilized egg, it doesn't have a brain yet. So it's not aware. It can't feel pain. That little creature comes into existence, that little living human being, with a blast of life. A blast of life. In fact, we call it a blastocyst. And that blastocyst is genetically complete. It's alive. It's not any other species. It's a human being. It's a living human being. It has its soul spirit that it inherited from its parents. And it is alive to God. And then when the law comes, when that unique human being reaches the age of accountability and that human being intentionally sides with the enemies of God, then that human being bears guilt and is dead spiritually. You could read about that in Romans 7, a little bit in Romans 5, a little bit in Romans 1. Remember, John the Baptist was in his mother Elizabeth's womb, and Mary came walking into the building, and John the Baptist was 6 months of age, and Mary came walking in, Elizabeth's cousin, and she was pregnant with Jesus, who was just newly conceived in her womb. So John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus, and the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy. Because John the Baptist, as a baby, not that he understood all the implications, but he sensed the presence of God, which is such a beautiful story in the Gospels. Babies are, when they come into existence, they are alive to God. And so a mother kills that baby intentionally, and that baby is aware of God, and becomes aware at that very moment. How soon after death? We don't understand exactly the awareness we have at the moment of death and immediately after death. Maybe a Christian, when a Christian dies, they die and then they wake up as though they were sleeping. They wake up in heaven. Be pretty interesting to find out how that transition happens. But that baby becomes aware that mom or mom and dad didn't want me and killed me. The baby becomes aware of this. And to say that that baby feels no pain, that is the ultimate in arrogance and ignorance. And it is unscientific. It's unscientific. And people say, well, we should base our laws on science. Well, science has nothing to say about morality. The laws of physics and chemistry have nothing to say about rape or murder or child molestation or stealing. Nothing to say about those issues. Okay. Oh, and by the way, all right, how do we refute the atheist cliches in 8 seconds or less? Well, we don't have much time, but we don't need much time because it's 8 seconds or less. Like, first off, oh, by the way, if you'd like a Bob and Yurt Live catalog, we got a brand new catalog. Please call us at 800-8-N-YURT. That's 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278, or go online to our website, kgov, KGOV.com. You could watch a video called Get Out of the Matrix, where I debated these issues with a college philosophy class and their professor. And I asked the professor, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And she couldn't answer the question. So I called the professor a fool in front of the students, and it was like an electrical shock had gone through the classroom. Interesting. You got to see it. Get Out of the Matrix. What a video. Okay, atheist cliche number one, there is no truth. So somebody says there is no truth. And you ask them, is that true? That took about 1 second. So in 1 second, you refute one of the major claims of atheists, that there is no truth. You ask, is that true? So you've exposed the inherent contradiction in their worldview. Atheist cliche number two, there are no absolutes. And you ask, absolutely? Is that absolutely true? That took 1 second. Atheist cliche number three, only your five senses provide real knowledge. You can only know that which your five senses tell you. And so you ask, which of your five senses tell you that? Which one? Which of the five tell you that? Your hearing? Your smell? It doesn't smell right to me. And so you refuted that. Pain proves that there is no love in God. The problem of pain. And you say, well, you're not stating your assumption, which is false, that suffering can have no value or purpose. Suffering can have value and purpose. That would take about 5 seconds. And so on. You might want to check out our video. It's really fun to watch. Get Out of the Matrix. I think you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. Or your money back. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. The best Christian school I've ever seen. Check out Maranatha. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.